we have previously discussed the question of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. Should we all be living in the land of Israel? Today what I'd like to discuss is the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. Should we all be buried in the land of Israel? Now, burial in the land of Israel is somewhat of a common thing. You hear about it from time to time, that the funeral is taking place in Eretz Yisrael, that the body is moved to Eretz Yisrael, and a relative goes along with the body. We know that looking at Chumash already with the parsha of Chaye Sarah, with Sarah's burial in the Ma'arat HaMachpelah, that Avraham Avinu made sure that she'd be buried in Hebron in Eretz Yisrael, and thereafter our matriarchs and our patriarchs were buried in that particular place. In Parshat Vayechi, specifically, Yaakov says he doesn't want to be buried in Mitzrayim, he wants to be buried in Israel. Yosef also, similarly, will be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And this question came up with a lot of fireworks when this past week at Shul between Mincha Mariv, so we've been studying the views of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, a famous Rav, concerning various issues, and I came up to the following issue about something he said, and then everyone, a lot of people at least, went wild. Here's his statement. He says, and this is found in his book Mechitzat Rabbeinu and the Laws of Avelu, Daf Kuf Pechet, he says, Rabbeinu Amar She'eno Sava Ratzon. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said that he was not really happy. About those who move the bodies of those who have died in the United States to the land of Israel. And he had several reasons why he considered this to be problematic. First of all, he says, number one, Mibnei Halanat Hamet, because of the fact that you are supposed to ideally bury a person the same day he dies or very closely thereafter. And when you have to send a body to Israel, so it delays the burial. You're not supposed to delay the burial needlessly. So he said that this bothered him, that people do this despite the fact that it will delay the burial. And furthermore, while it may not be the rule today, apparently there was a time, he says, where they used to require embalming in order to send the body, because otherwise the body would smell, it's going overseas, it's going to take a while. So he required embalming, which is a violation of halacha, it's an evil of hametz. So consequently, that's why as well he was against it. He gave another reason. He said he was also against it because, he said, of the Zionist movement. What exactly that means, I just think he probably meant that this gives a lot of centrality, a lot of focus upon Israel when he does not feel it needs to be. In other words, as we'll see, he doesn't feel you have to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So why is everyone pushing it? You should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Unless he thinks it's a Zionist ideological type of argument, which for whatever reason he did not fully agree with. More reason, he said that children are supposed to visit their parents at their graves. Consequently, by burying someone in Eretz Yisrael, it means often, if you live in the States anyway, that you will not be able to regularly visit your parents at their graves. What's the big deal about visiting your parents? Because it's supposed to inspire you. Like the time of Slichos, the month of Elul, high holidays especially, you're supposed to be inspired to do tshuva, and so by being buried in Eretz Yisrael, so you deny the opportunity to your children to be able to be inspired by visiting your grave, because you can't regularly visit Eretz Yisrael, at least most people can't. So thereby Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said it did not make him feel good that people regularly have this idea of burying in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore he would be against it if someone would ask him. Now when I mentioned this in the Mincha Mariv learning, so as I said, some people were very upset. They said, what do you mean? My grandparents were buried in Eretz Yisrael. Well, what is that supposed to mean? And we know many people are buried in Eretz Yisrael. How could you say such a thing? And I then pointed out, Yaakov Kamenetsky, again, made this statement, but it wasn't only him. He was not the only one who made it. Rav Henkin, I don't know if everyone has heard of Rav Henkin. Rav Henkin was the halachic authority of the United States to something for Rav Moshe Feinstein. He was the posek hador, the halachic authority. Rav Henkin, in his work, Tshuvot Ibra, Volume 2, makes the following statement. He was asked the same thing. What about moving bodies to Eretz Yisrael after the person has passed away? And he writes, Bietzem hadavar lo nicha lize klal. He says, essentially speaking, this thing is not pleasant to me and proper to me at all. Amar bazeh, and he said, b'chovat halavavot, it says in the famous work, The Duties of the Heart, a medieval work, she'ena tosefet nitna, ela kishe hachova nifra'a. That a person does not get extra reward until first he has paid off the essential obligation. What does he mean by that? He means, if you lived in Eretz Yisrael your whole life, and you gave your life for Eretz Yisrael, okay, you will be burned in Israel, fine. But you live outside of Israel, and now you want the benefits from Eretz Yisrael, now you want, oh, the special reward, I want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Only if you pay what's due do you get then, you know, a little extra. But you don't get the little extra if you didn't do what was required of you. So Rav Henkin says that he's against it, and thereby he goes on to say, let me just finish his view. He says, Bivadai Tamid Chachamim Gedolim, great Torah scholars, there's no doubt, who are very careful about mitzvahs, and who, you know, taught outside of Israel in order to teach others Torah, even though maybe they wanted to go to Israel. Like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, for example, once said the reason he never went to Israel is because when the ship is going down, the captain's got to go down with the ship. So he and other great Chachamim, he doesn't mention the Rebbe per se, but such great Talmid Chachamim, who then are taken to Israel to be buried, like Yaakov and Yosef, who were great Talmid Chachamim, we said in Parshat V'yachi, they want to be buried in Israel. Yes, they were great tzaddikim. So those individuals can be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He says, however, normal people, you know, you and me, so to speak, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, he says, Kimidumani shehu kemo yuhura. I consider this to be an act of arrogance for someone to say, I want to be buried in Israel when I did not live in Eretz Yisrael. Chutz mizeh, furthermore, he says, it costs a great deal of money to then bury the person there. So you have to get a plane ticket, you have to fly the person over, you have to do all this. He says, to do this, he says, might be something inappropriate for people to try to force a widow or children to do. You might say, you should bury Eretz Yisrael. That's where you'd want to be buried. You should bury Eretz Yisrael. Well, who's going to pay for this? Often it could be that the mourners do not have the money for this, and yet they may feel forced that they have to do this, because look, everyone says to do it, and it's the right thing to do, and yet they may not have the money to do so, and they may be stealing from the survivors. He says, Zehu b'misha shoel eitza bazeh. He says, this is what I feel by those who ask me for my advice. Omnam misherotzeh lahalo tol Eretz Yisrael, but look, if someone's going to do it already, ein limchot b'yado. I'm not saying you should wage a war against it. I'm not saying you should go and try to stop people from doing it, because it does seem, he says, that it is permitted, according to Jewish law, in fact, to even reintern someone in Eretz Yisrael. Not only if someone died can you bury him in Eretz Yisrael, but even if you already buried him in the United States, you'd be allowed to reintern him. You'd be allowed to move the body to Eretz Yisrael because it's considered to be a higher level of burial. And for something like that, you're allowed to reintern a person. So he says that I'm not saying you should start a war against this thing, but if you're asking me, I say that a person who didn't live in Eretz Yisrael, unless he's a great tzaddik, Krapenkin says, should not be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And finally he says, it's like a case, even if the majority would say to bury him in Eretz Yisrael, he says it's like a case where you have brothers arguing over a certain thing. There's a case in the Gemara like this, he says, and all the brothers say to do it this way, and yet the one brother who's against them, even though you usually follow the majority, is the one who's right. So when the one is right, you follow him over the majority. So to here he says, I think that it's a similar situation, that the halacha basically is that only great people should be buried in Eretz Yisrael who lived outside of Eretz Yisrael. And even if many people say to do so, I say you probably shouldn't do it if you're asking me. So that was his view in this situation.
I thought there was a section that says somewhere when the Mashiach comes, that people would be rolling to Israel, and therefore, they're going to be there at the time.
Yes, you're right. So that's only, however, if you are buried outside of Israel. But that's not saying, should you be buried in Israel, though. You're right. If you weren't buried there, then you will eventually get there when the Messianic time comes.
Right.
But it also says in that same Gemara that it's a much smoother ride if you're buried in Eretz Yisrael already. Then it's just kind of like you just come up and here I am. The way you go when it comes to the resurrection of the dead, it's not going to be like El Al. Not even like Continental or whatever, or Air France. You have to go through the ground. You have to go through terrible pain, right, in order to get there. And so it will be much easier if you are buried there. So that's another reason why a person may choose to be buried there, to avoid that pain at the time of the resurrection. And yet Rav Henkin or Kamenetsky say, no, unless you are a great Torah scholar or already living there, you should not do it.
I know from people that they live in Israel, they very against that they bringing in to bury Israel privately, because they say this is people that they didn't do anything for Israel.
That's right.
Not even that they didn't live there and they didn't even support Israel.
Right.
In Kfar Saba, the cemetery in Kfar Saba, which whenever I go to Israel, I visit there. From the one time to the other time, the last time I was, I could not find the place. The ways are taken away. Coffins tap on one another. They don't have place where to bury the people. It's impossible. And here, people live in the United States. They have a good time, and after that, they bury them in Israel. And they pay a lot of money, and in Israel, not everybody can afford these kind of things. So that's very wrong. People privately very against it, and they rebel against it. And it should not be that.
Okay,
that's
okay.
That's enough.
Okay. Let's hold on. Good. All right. Let me keep going a little bit. Good point. Let me just go on the view of Rav Moshe Feinstein on this. Again, I was telling this to the Mincham Ariv crowd when they were going crazy. I said, well, you see all these great leaders say that you shouldn't do it. Rav Moshe Feinstein, privately, first of all, in an oral communication with various individuals, this is brought down in a book I have called The Weekly Halacha. And the author there says that it was reported to him Rav Moshe Feinstein also counseled that one should not be buried in Eretz Yisrael if he's the average person. And Rav Moshe Feinstein himself is buried in Eretz Yisrael. And there's probably times, I don't know if he chose to or what, but as we said, great tzaddikim are allowed to be buried there. We'll get to the logic to that in one moment. But he was asked a very interesting question where I kind of surmised that he was not in favor of this. This is in Yoredeya Chelet Gimel. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this question. There was a famous individual, Moshe Montefiore. Let me just tell you who he was. Montefiore, I'm reading from the Encyclopedia Judaica, lived from 1784 to 1885. Moses Montefiore. He was the most famous English Jew of the 19th century. Now he lived, you notice, to age 100. I mean, in that time, that was not so simple. He lived to age 100. When he married in 1812, he became the brother-in-law to Nathan Mayer Rothschild. So he had two big families here. Apparently he was not raised religious, but at age 43, when he went to visit Eretz Yisrael for the first time, he returned in 1827 and he became a frum Jew for the rest of his life. He was so impressed by Eretz Yisrael. He loved Eretz Yisrael. And he also helped fight against the non-Orthodox movements when he was in England. He made 7 visits to Eretz Yisrael. This was not so simple at that time. At that time, he started to help others try to buy up land in Israel so that the Jewish people would have land in Israel. Yamin Moshe Quarter in Yerushalayim is named for him. Yamin Moshe became a very famous individual throughout the world. Montefiore was the sheriff of London in 1837 to 1838, was knighted by Queen Victoria, became a baron in 1846 in recognition of his humanitarian efforts on behalf of fellow Jews. He was the head of the Board of Deputies of British Jews from 1835 to 1874. 39 years. He was described as the last of the great shtadlanim, that is to say, those who, because of their personal standing with their governments, were able to further the cause of Jews throughout the world. He was active as such from the time of the Damascus affair in 1840. Now, what is the Damascus affair? A famous affair that took place in Damascus in 1840 in Syria, when Jews were accused of killing two individuals for their blood to use for Passover matzahs. Okay? The two individuals were one friar named Thomas and another individual who helped him out, an assistant to him, a Muslim servant, Ibrahim Amara. And although they were involved apparently in some shady business, were probably killed by such individuals who were involved in the business world with them, the Jews were accused of killing them when they were found dead in 1840. And in fact, because there were European powers involved at the time, some who supported Syria, some who didn't, so this became like an international event of intrigue. And what happened was that the Jews were accused, and seven of them were taken and were made to confess and say that they did it, like today when they force individuals to confess. And then they found some bones, who they claimed were the bones of this Catholic individual, and they buried him. And until like this century, people would take you on a tour, they would show you the grave of this friar, Thomas, who was killed by the Jews because they wanted his blood for matzahs. All right? It was a terrible thing. It was spread throughout the world. And Montefiore interceded with the group from England who went there under his leadership to try to speak with the head of Syria at the time, whose name was none other than Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was the head of the time. And they met with him, and he was successful in, if not withdrawing the accusation and the judgment, but at least they got the others who were held, or they freed them. There were, for example, Jewish children, 63 Jewish children were taken, and their mothers were threatened that unless they say where the blood was, that they would kill their children. So all these atrocities took place, and Montefiore was one who liberated those who had been captured. Montefiore was this great individual. There are pictures of him throughout the world, the posters of him. He was in the army of England. He was, you know, a real hero, not only for the Jews, but also for England. He also tried to help Jews by going to Russia in 1846 to stop persecutions that were there. In 1863, he did the same thing in going to Morocco. In 1867, he went to Romania for the same purpose. Incredible individual. He was 6'3" tall, so his very presence was like something that was incredible. He had charisma, he had a commanding personality, and his philanthropy added to all of this. He became highly respected and admired both in England and abroad. On his 100th birthday, his birthday was celebrated as a holiday by Jewish communities throughout the world. In any event, Montefiore, after he died, and he was buried in England, but there were those who argued that he should be buried in the land of Israel, which he loved so much, which he visited so much, which he gave money to. So Rav Moshe Feinstein was one who was asked this question. He was asked, would it be proper to move Montefiore's bones to the land of Israel? And so he argues, Rav Moshe Feinstein does, against Siman Kuf Nun Gimel, in Yerodea Chelet Gimel. He says, listen, he says, I'm not going to get into all the reasons pro and con, because if I give some that are pro, people will say, oh, so he said there are some that are pro, so no, you could do it, you could bury him. I'm just going to say in a very brief language, he says, if you ask me, the answer is no. You should not move Moshe Montefiore's body along with that of his wife. Not only because there's a general prohibition of moving bones of individuals who have been buried, because you'll say, well, we know that you're allowed to move, as we mentioned before, to a higher level burial, so maybe you can do it. He said, no, even so, I say you shouldn't do it. He says, even if the children wanted to do it, and it wasn't the children apparently who wanted to do it, it was just other Jews, he says, but certainly, was in the state of Israel, he says, if others want to do it, even if they have good intentions, he says, it should not be done. should not be done. He says, first of all, why just Moshe Montefiore? You know, there are many Jews who are buried, great tzaddikim who were killed in the Holocaust or others. We know where they're buried. Sometimes we know where they're buried. But the Vilna Gaon sent many of his students to go to the Holy Land. So he's not buried in Eretz Yisrael. So how come people aren't arguing to bring his bones to Eretz Yisrael? So he says, first of all, it's a difficult thing. This person, not that person. There are many holy people who deserve to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. He says also, as I pointed out, he says that apparently Moses Montefiore says that he said that he wanted to be buried in London or in England where he lived. He did not say he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So why should you go against his wishes? His own wishes were to be buried. Say, I want to be buried in Cincinnati. But gives you a right to remove Rabbi Bach's bones and move to Eretz Yisrael. He said he wants to be buried in Cincinnati. He said he wanted to be buried here. Maybe he had his reasons. This is where he lived his life. Be intimate with people. Who said he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? So he says it's therefore not for permitted to move his bones to the land of Israel. Now, we have seen from all the views of those who lived in the United States, Rav Henkin, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, now Rav Moshe Feinstein, that their feeling was this is not basically appropriate that this should be done. Okay? I want to point out now, it's interesting, let's look at the views of poskim from the land of Israel. The Har Tzvi, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, chief rabbi of Jerusalem, wrote in the early 1900s, I believe it was, he was asked if they could move the body of one of the great rebbeim of the Hasidim, the Karliner Hasidim. The Karliner Rebbe was buried in the United States. Can he be moved, it was asked to the Har Tzvi, to the land of Israel. And he said, absolutely, you could move the body. And even if when you buried the body, for example, when we buried Rabbi Inditch, Zichron Livracha, in our cemetery here, well, everyone who remembers, he wanted to be buried in Israel, but because it was the Persian Gulf War, you were not allowed to have any flights to Israel. So we buried him here in our cemetery. I was one of the ones who buried him with some others. And we, on the condition, B'tanai, and I reinterned him also, took him out of his grave there. We reinterned him. When we buried him, we said we were burying him on the condition that when it is capable, we will be able to move him to the land of Israel. The Har Tzvi says, it's very nice, but you don't even have to make a condition. To move a body to Eretz Yisrael, you don't even have to make a condition. You knew it was his wish, you don't have to make a condition. You can just go ahead and do it. It's a higher level of burial, and you can move his body to Eretz Yisrael. He said the Karliner Rebbe, even if he did not specify that he wanted to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, you are allowed to move his body to Eretz Yisrael, and it's a great mitzvah to do so, and you are honoring him to do so. And moreover, he says that anyone who interferes and tries to stop it, which you might have thought is a good thing from the other views we saw, he says anyone who intervenes, he says you are causing great pain to that tzaddik, and you should not do so. You should in fact honor his memory, and you should elevate his soul and bring that body to Eretz Yisrael. So here you have a view of someone who says you should move the bodies to Eretz Yisrael. Let me just add, another great halachic authority in the land of Israel, the Tzitz Eliezer, Rav Eliezer Waldenberg, who was the chief rabbi of the rabbi of the Shari Tzedek Hospital. So he's very well known for his medical decisions. So Rav Waldenberg, also a great halachic authority, says in his Shalos and Tshuvos, in Chelek Yud Aleph, Siman Ayin Hey, he says, and the Har Tzvi, by the way, which I quoted before, was to be found in Siman Reish Ayin Dalid, in Hilchos Avelus, in Yoredeya. But the Tzitz Eliezer says as follows, quoting others, he says, Rov HaChachamim VaTzadikim, he says, most great sages and wise men wanted their bones elevated and moved to Eretz Yisrael. V'lo chasheshu l'dat hamiyut, and they didn't worry about the minority view, he calls it, who says that you should not move bodies from the land of Israel, from outside of Israel to the land of Israel. He says, and we have a major principle, that you follow the majority. The majority of people said you can move a person's body to the land of Israel. And furthermore, he says, even someone who did not command that their body be moved to Eretz Israel, as we've mentioned earlier, he says, still, I say you can go ahead and you can move that body to the land of Israel, and most people don't care about that. If they didn't say it, most people still would want to be buried there. He says, V'rak mishum ma lo tziva shavdinin ma'asei rav la'loto k'shiyesh l'banav hafsharut v'aratzon l'kach v'nishna gam zot mibein ashitin da'al achat kama v'kama shchlim l'tzavot al'kach v'azei mitzvah ala tzatzaim l'kayim divrei amet. He says, so even if he did not command, you can move the body there. So certainly, right, if he did command it, you should move the body there, and the children should try to fulfill the wish of their dying parent to have his body flown and buried in Eretz Yisrael. So again, a second view, the Hartz view says that this should be done. If a mitzvah is done, if you intervene, like a curse on you, you should not intervene. The body should be moved to Israel. Rav Avadya Yosef, the great Sephardic halachic authority, makes it a little more clear to us in his writings of Yalkut Yosef first in Siman Lamed Bet, and then in his Yechave Dat, Siman Nun Vav in Chelek Revi'i, about what his view is on this. He says, first of all, what's this whole idea of being buried in Eretz Yisrael? Why? The Gemara in Ketubot, he says, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, says as follows, Shekol HaKavur Be'Eretz Yisrael, anyone who is buried in the land of Israel, Keilu kavur tachad hamizbeach. It's like you were buried right under the altar in the temple. How do you know that? Nemar kan mizbeach adama taseli. It says in the Torah, you shall make for me an altar of stone. But it says the word adama, an altar of ground, of earth, literally. V'nemar sham v'chiper admato amo. And it says in another place that the land of Israel shall achieve atonement for its nation. So like it says the word Adama in one place, and it says the word Adama in another place. So we learn from this, if you're buried in the land of Israel, so it establishes an atonement for the person, just like the altar established atonement for people who brought sacrifices. So therefore there's an idea of being buried in Israel to be atoned for your sins. That's why people want to be buried in Israel. And the Gemara says that they actually buried people in Israel. The Rambam adds, this is in Hilchot Malachim, Perek Hei Halacha Yud Aleph, Gedolei HaChachamim Hayu Molichim Meitehem Likavarim Beret Yisrael. The great sages would move their dead to be buried in Israel. And Seu Lameid Mi Yaakov Avinu Bi Yosef Atzadik. The Rambam says, learn this from Yaakov and Yosef, who both said they should be buried there. Now, of course, one could argue, yes, like we said before, they were great tzaddikim, we're talking about, a great chachamim, who were buried in Israel. Should anyone be buried in Israel? Again, he doesn't seem to discuss this. But he does point out that the Ramban says, as well, in his work, Sefer Torah Ta'adam, in his work, Torah Ta'adam, he also says, the Ramban does, that it's permitted to move the dead, he says, not necessarily great ones, but anyone who's dead, to burial in the land of Israel. You're allowed to do it, says the Ramban. The Shulchan Aruch says, as we pointed out, that you are allowed to do it. You're allowed to move a person from Eretz Yisrael. What is the problem? Why might people disagree? Says Rav Avadya Yosef in the Yalkut Yosef, going on. He said, because in the Jerusalem Talmud, there's a debate about it. In the Jerusalem Talmud, there's one view who says, like we said, yes, you should be buried there, it's a source of atonement. But there's another view who says, the view of Rebbe Bar Kirya, who says, concerning those who got buried in Israel who didn't live there, V'tavohu v'titamu et artsi. God says about them, they have come and made impure my ground, my land. V'nachalati samtem l'toiva. And you have made my inheritance into an abomination. Again, you, those of you who lived outside of Israel, who were impure your whole life, you lived outside of Israel. The Gemara says you have a certain sense of impurity if you lived outside of Israel. And now you want to come into Israel to be buried? You're going to make my land impure by being buried in that land. What about great tzaddikim? So there people argue, so great tzaddikim, so we have a halacha, they are not mitame. They do not become impure. They are very pure because of all the mitzvahs they did. So they will not make the land impure. But normal folk, like you and me, if you will, to be buried in Israel, that makes the land of Israel impure, and you should not be buried there, says the Gemara Yushalmi, at least according to this one view. However, Avad Yosef says that we don't follow that view. We follow the view of Rabbi Elazar in the Gemara Yushalmi, who says it is a good thing to be buried there. So we have a debate there, and because of that debate is probably why you have these other views who say you should not be buried there. Okay? Rav Avadya Yosef goes on, and he says that even though in the Zohar, the book of Jewish mysticism, in the Zohar, it goes like this view in the Yerushalmi. In the Jewish mystic tradition, it says you should not be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It's an abomination, like that view in the Yerushalmi said. Still, says the Rav Avadya Yosef, we know we have a principle. If our Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, goes against the Zohar, the book of Jewish mysticism, he says we follow the Talmud. And therefore, we follow the Talmud here that you can be buried in the land of Israel. Even though I might point out that the Vilna Gaon is famous for saying, I recall, that if you have a contradiction between the Talmud and the Zohar, he says, then you're understanding one of them incorrectly, because there can be no contradiction. Rav Avadya Yosef said there can be a contradiction, and we follow the Talmud. The Vilna Gaon said, then you're misunderstanding one of them. Either you're misunderstanding the Talmud, or you're misunderstanding the Zohar, because they do not contradict. They are consistent. You just have to determine how you're not understanding them in the right way. Be that the Zohar is mainly talking about just regular Jews being buried near Yisrael and being metame the land, as opposed to the fact that if it were great tzaddikim and Talmid Chachamim, where Eretz Yisrael would welcome those individuals, they would not be metame the land. And in fact, we have a notion that a tzaddik is not metame. So consequently, this would then make sense. The Zohar forbids the burial normatively of Jews who live in Chutz Laaretz in Eretz Yisrael, but for great Talmid Chachamim and Tzaddikim, so that would be accepted. But yet, again, you see from this, Rav Avadya Yosef says that he holds that you can be buried in the land of Israel, no matter who you are. It is appropriate, and that has been, he says, the custom of people throughout the ages. He says that's what everyone agrees to. He says, Kain dat kol haposkin. Rav Avadya Yosef also mentions the case of Montefiore, and he answers to a Sephardic rabbi who asked him, against Rav Moshe Feinstein, that yes, you can move the body of Montefiore. I find this very interesting. Listen to this. So someone was asking about the different authorities and what they say. Isn't it interesting? We see that those who are the halachic authorities who live outside of Israel, like in the United States, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Henkin, so their view was, now if you would have asked me, I might have said, they would say, yeah, you can be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the ones who were in Eretz Yisrael who we saw, Rav Avadya Yosef, Rav Tzvi, and also the Tzitz Eliezer, the Eretz Yisrael authorities, they might have said, no, you can't be buried in Israel. What a chutzpah. You who lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, now you want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? What a chutzpah. Forget it. And yet I would have thought then the American authorities would have said, no, why not? You don't know what it's like to be in Galus, to be in the exile. It's not such an easy life. It wasn't so easy to come to Eretz Yisrael necessarily, to survive out here. We should be buried there. But look, it's just the opposite. The American authorities are the ones who said that you shouldn't be buried in Eretz Yisrael if you lived here. And the Israeli authorities, who you think might have said, nothing doing, you lived outside, you didn't help us, forget it. They're the ones who say, it's a great mitzvah to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. So I call this Ahavas Yisrael, a love of Jews. Look how the love of the Jewish authorities. Those who live outside of Eretz Yisrael say, you know, we shouldn't impose upon the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. After all, we lived out here. And the ones who live in Israel claim, come on, you couldn't do it in life, we welcome you in death. It's still a mitzvah. Come to Eretz Yisrael even to be buried, even if you couldn't come in your lifetime. So I find that very fascinating. But let me add, we have a principle that says that when you have a contradiction, like we have two different views, sometimes then a third view comes to tell you what which way we go. And I found in the work Selkat Yaakov, a famous work by Rav Breisch, who was a Rav in Switzerland. Many of you probably haven't heard of him. He was asked the following. This is in the third Chelek, Simon Kuf Mem Bet. He says this. Listen to this case. A man lost his father, and they buried him outside of Israel in the city they lived in. After several days, he has in a dream his father come to him. And his father says to him, I want to be buried in the land of Israel. So he ignores it. It's just a dream. A few days later, he's bothered by it again. He has another dream. His father says, I want to be buried in the land of Israel. And finally, like one more time, a third time, he's buried some days later by his father. And this time he wakes up out of his dream like in shock. His father's like lecturing him. I told you I want to be buried in Israel. You're not listening to me. I'm your father. Show me respect. So he doesn't know what to do. So he went to this Rav of Breisch, the Chelkat Yaakov, a famous posek, and asked him, is it fitting to be buried to move my father in Eretz Yisrael? So first he said, let's first see about this whole halakha about moving a Jew who died to Eretz Yisrael. First let's see this. So he says, he comes down in favor, even though he lived outside of Israel, that you are allowed to move a body to Eretz Yisrael. When a relative wants to do it, you don't need a tenai, you don't need a condition to do it. He says that the most poskim, again, like Rav Yosef says, that you're allowed to do it, it'll bring atonement to the person's soul, menuchas hanefesh, it'll put the person's soul at rest, he won't have to go through what we talked about before, going through the ground to get to Eretz Yisrael in the time of the Messianic Age and the Mashiach. All great halachic sages went with this view, he says, in the past. The Gemara seems to say you could do it. So he says, certainly it is something that is permitted to do. Then he says, even regular people, not just great tzaddikim and great chachamim, but he says, people who have a chezkat kashrut, now maybe he doesn't mean everyone, but he says, people who are good people, good Jews, he says, not wicked people, but not great tzaddikim either. Some, you know, a good Jew who kept Torah and mitzvahs. He says, those people as well, he says, are you going to say it's forbidden? No, I say it's okay. They weren't such great tzaddikim. He brings in a famous Gemara in Masechet Kedushin. The Gemara says, Daf Mem Tet, that if a person says to a woman, Hareyat Mikudeshet Li Al Menat Shani Tzaddik Gamor, will you marry me on the condition that if I am a true tzaddik, will you marry me? The Gemara says that even if the person is a Rasha, he's a wicked person, it still could be that it's a good Kedushin, you might have to get a get. Why? He's a Rasha. Because it could be when he said that, he wanted her so badly, like, I'll do anything for you, he had thoughts of repentance. Will you marry me? Will you marry me? I'm a tzaddik. I'm absolutely tzaddik. In other words, I've done tshuva. Will you marry me? I'll do whatever you say. I'll keep all mitzvahs. Will you marry me? So he had hirei tshuva. And so too also we say before a person dies, that it could be he has hirei tshuva. It could be that he repents, even though you don't know what's in a person's mind. He says vidu before he dies, he confesses, you don't know. So he says, even this person, as long as it's an average person, for sure, he says, presuming that he said vidu and he had thoughts before he died, he might have done tshuva. So he says, even the average person, therefore, I say that you can bring him to Eretz Yisrael. And then he adds, you know what, maybe even the absolute wicked person, maybe he also did tshuva. So if he wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, also he can be buried in the land of Israel. And he says again that this is a view of all the poskim, or at least most of the poskim. So he says you're allowed to do it. Now he asks this question. Okay, now let's see if because you had a dream, if that's sufficient reason to do this. The halacha is, yeah, you could do it. People can ask me to do it, but you had a dream. Are dreams to be believed? So he says, the Gemara says that a dream is not male velo morid. That a dream, generally speaking, the halacha is like, you don't believe it. It doesn't say something is true or it doesn't say it's not true. It's kind of like neutral. A dream is kind of like neutral. So he's kind of unclear about it. He adds that certainly a dream is not required to be acted upon, the halakha says, if the dream requires you or someone else to involve money, where money's going to be lost. In other words, let's say I have a dream and it says to go to this guy and he has to spend this much money, thousands of dollars, to do something. There's not a requirement to have to take money from someone or make him give up money out of a dream. If the dream is just go do something, okay. If the dream involves, oh, now you gotta, I force you to use money, so then something else. So your father cannot force you to have to go spend the money now to send his body to Eretz Yisrael. He can't do it because he can't force any money from you. All right, he's not allowed to do that. A dream does not have power to do that. Now, you could argue, he says, perhaps, that the mitzvah of honoring your parents, you know, extends even after death. And it extends, fine, maybe not to your money, but let's say, what about the estate? What about his money? What about the father's money? What about if you have this dream and you could use his money? Let's say the estate hasn't been worked out yet. Sometimes it takes lawyers some time. So you could use his money to do it. So that already might be, he says, another discussion. But the main point here is, the dream being what it is and how you determine that, still, he does paskin that, even though he lived outside of Israel, that it is a mitzvah to do this, and those who want to do it, you know, certainly can feel good about doing it. And one final thought here. And that is that maybe we can all agree on this. Ravad Yosef in his Yalkut Yosef, the same place, discusses the following. He says, what about someone, this is in Halacha Vav, someone who is visiting the land of Israel, and this person dies in the land of Israel?
Yeah.
Now what about the fact, even though you lived outside of Israel your whole life, but you die in Israel? So there he says for sure, everyone should agree, that there's a message in this, and a person should be buried in the land of Israel. Now it's almost like the Rambam says, if you recall, when we discussed the centrality of Eretz Israel, should we all be living in Israel? We said the Rambam does not say clearly that you have to live in the land of Israel. But he says, once you're living there, you can't leave there. So almost like it's like this here as well. Whether you can be uprooted to go be buried in Eretz Israel, so that we've seen different views upon. But once you're there, to then leave and be buried somewhere else, that's already a chutzpah. You're in the land of Israel already. You're already there. I mean, the land is right there. To move you now, when it's an atonement for you, to move you now. So there he says, then you should definitely be buried in the land of Israel, and people should be convinced that this is the way that it should be done. In fact, I don't know if I ever told you the story. Maybe I did. Some of you know Barbara Miller from the Federation. And I one day this will be written up in a book. I've written it up and never got the book together. Okay, in any event, so Barbara Miller from the Federation, who's head of Israel programming and other things. She went to Israel with her sister and her mother to visit the land of Israel. And they had a beautiful tour there, and then their mother died in Yerushalayim. It was on a Friday. The Chevra Kedisha came to them from Yerushalayim. You know, people in black coats and black hats, you'll see what I'm describing it this way, because Barbara Miller and her family were not terribly observant, she admits. And they had even prayed when they went to Israel, by the way, for a sign to show them, let us hear God's voice while we're here visiting, and let us you know, be open to all the spiritual experiences we can. So this Chevra Kedisha guy knocks on the door, the head of the Chevra Kedisha, and he says there, well, you know, we know your mother died, we're so sorry, but we would like to convince you you should bury her here in Yerushalayim. And he gave all these reasons. He said it was Erev Shabbos. It's a mitzvah to bury her here, and they wanted to do it there. And they said, but you know, our whole family's outside the United States. What do you mean? All the relatives, everyone, the grandchildren, the other children. No. You should do it here. There's a beautiful message that she came to Israel. She saw the beauty of Israel. She loved it. She should be buried here in Eretz Israel. So they decided to do it. They decided to do it, and they said it was such a spiritual experience. Among other things, they went to the cemetery, and here they are, two women alone in Israel, and yet all these other, the Chevra Kedisha helps with the burial, and they take care of everything. Here they are, they're all alone, you know, and yet they felt so loved and so part of the community. And then here they are, the Chevra Kedisha Yerushalayim, black coats, black hats, payas, who knows. And they say to the sisters, would you like to speak in honor of your mother? And they said, what, we're allowed to speak? What do you mean? Women are allowed to give eulogies here in front of you? Yeah, sure. Gave eulogies in honor of their mother, and they had this beautiful burial that they described, and they said they said they felt like they were in God's hands. Mm-hmm. You know, just in God's hands. God was guiding them every step of the way. It was such a beautiful decision they thought that they made. When they came back, by the way, Barbara Miller, for a little while, she came to Chevra Kedisha events and meetings and stuff because she wanted to be on the Chevra Kedisha after seeing this. And when she goes back to Israel, she says she often goes back, and the head of the Chevra Kedisha from Yerushalayim still picks her up at the airport and takes her to her mother's grave and says that she never paid him anything to do this. I'm sure she probably gives him a check or something, but he never asked for anything. He never asked for a check. You know, he just picks her up and takes her to the grave. And she got the most beautiful vision of what the Chevra Kedisha is and what she thought maybe people said about, you know, Haredi Jews, and she saw wasn't true. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful experience that she had through death. As someone once said, Joseph Lookstein, a famous rabbi, some of you know, in the United States many years ago, many have entered the life of Judaism through the portals of death. People saying Kaddish, coming to Minyan every day. Suddenly they're moved by something. So in this case, this was the situation with Barbara Miller and her mother who had passed away, that she was incredibly moved by this event. So in any event, we have different views. I say we conclude that, look, if a person doesn't do it, I wouldn't try to talk him into it necessarily. There are those who hold you shouldn't do it. If a person does do it, you shouldn't strive to talk him out of it. Because we said their views say that it's a great mitzvah to do it. Like many things in Judaism, there are different views. Just to tell you on a personal note, I am going to be buried, I think, in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Not because it's my choice. Because my wife said she's going to be buried in outside Yerushalayim. And just like I always don't have a choice, and I have to follow what my wife says, so too, she said, I'm being buried in Yerushalayim. I want to be buried there. I want to sit. So I would probably be buried in Cincinnati. I would have gone with the view that probably said, look, I didn't live there. After I retire, I live there. Or Soloveitchik, my Rebbe, was buried in Boston, not in Yerushalayim, not in Eretz Yisrael. So, but I want to be buried next to my wife. So I think that's where I'm going to end up one day. But anyway, you've heard the shiur. Yes, you heard the views. And hopefully we've been educated and edified by these perspectives.